nourish ourselves on or embrace, as you wish, the sacrament of the moment. Now, I have some of those books, I think. As I say, I'm not trying to sell you books, but it's a good book to have. And to guide you. Deacon Zod was really a beautiful writer, and he directed sisters, and he knew how to do it. And so it's a classic work. It was written in the 17th century, but it's been kept alive ever since. It's in successive editions and translation. So, and he, Deacon Zod, gives us a wonderful little illustration to a little image in his book, which is this. He takes an oriental rug, hand-woven by the weavers, and he tells us, which I presume is true, perhaps you know it otherwise, that a rug is woven from behind. The weavers do not see what they are doing. There is a master weaver, I believe, that stands in front, and he directs the proceedings. But you know what the bottom of a carpet looks like. It's a rather unattractive sort of thing, and all the weavers see is that. And yet they weave these threads in and out, back and forth, and into that rug they weave these magnificent, beautiful designs that the oriental rugs have, but they don't see what they're doing. Only the master weaver sees as he directs it. Of course, once in a while, maybe a weaver can sneak around after work and take a look at what he's doing and get some, you know, consolation, the fact that he's, although he's working in the blind, while he's producing something worthwhile. But that's it. He can't see. Now, Father Deacon Zod says, that's the way we are. God is working out a design in our lives, but we can't see it. It takes our faith in his will, in an act of faith in his abandonment. We practice self-abandonment. We abandon ourselves to God and say, I know that this is for my benefit. You're working out this for my joy, for my eternal joy. And even from now, in this world, I'll certainly receive fruits and graces from what you are doing if I accept them patiently and do it. That's self-abandonment to divine providence. Of course, too, like the weaver, we might once in a while get a look at that design. We can sometimes look back over a period in our lives and say, well, God did that. And I'm glad he did it. This wouldn't have happened if I'd had my way. I'd avoided all this. But now I can see what God was doing for me. We get a little, we see there's a little patch of order in our lives. And the point is, too, you see that there's our whole lives are under a grand design if we will accept it that way in the providence of God and see it that way. That it's more, there's more than a patch of order. And I can see it often in my own life, my appointments that I didn't particularly want or ask for and how beautifully they worked out for me. Even here, you see, there's a little example of it here. I don't like to even mention this example, but we wouldn't be having these retreats except that there's no sisters to occupy this space anymore. Their misfortune is our fortune, you see. These rooms were all occupied by young nuns at one time. The novices and the juniors and I don't delight in their misfortune at all, but it's been my good fortune. And whenever they appoint a certain day, the Mother Superior said, Father, would you like to have your retreats here? We have room. So, when I came here, I thought this was going to be my coffin, and I still think that, but I didn't think I would have any chance to give retreats here. That was closed out. It was a busy place with lots of young people here. There are no young people here now. But you're here. You're young, of course. And so God has provided. Well, that's just a little example. I hope it's not a selfish example, but I don't mean it that way. I deplore what is the difficulties they're having, but God has turned it into some benefit for me, and I hope for you and for the numbers of retreatants who have come during this time. And so in this way I give it to show you, and I'm sure you can, I have other such experiences, but I won't bore you with any more. You too can do that. Patches of order. Now our faith is that God has a design for all of us, a lifelong design. But we have to receive it in faith. This is the supreme act of faith. God is doing this to me. I have to do it, greet it with faith, and with love. I see his holy will, and then I embrace his holy will. One other example before we break up for now, to show this, another example that I like, and this occurred to me, is a chess game. Not just a chess game, but in a town like Pittsburgh, every once in a while a chess master will come into town, and he'll set up his business down in some public hall, say a YMCA downtown, and he'll invite all the expert chess players in the area to come down and meet him. And he will play 25, 50, I don't know how many, 100 games all at once. Now it takes, to my mind, I look at it from the outside, that it takes a genius to play one game at a time. For that game, I tried it once, but I gave it up quickly. That was not recreation, I concluded very soon. This is work beyond anything of studying philosophy or theology, and no, I don't want any parts of it. But some people enjoy it. Now, these men will come in, and they'll invite everybody, and they'll play 100 games, we'll suppose, at a time. Maybe they'll win, maybe they'll lose five. Maybe they won't lose any. We can imagine that they're born winners, and they win 100 out of 100. All the expert people in the whole western Pennsylvania. Now, that gives us a picture of God moving the pieces in his divine providence in our homes, in our rectories, in our convents, in our offices, in our factories. The people we work there, work with, the people we know, the friends we have, the enemies we get into, why meet, these are not by accident. God can, I won't say control them, but he can, I don't even like to say to use them, it's not quite that. He can circumvent any malice they have and gather up whatever good and whatever talents they have for their benefit, as well as for mine, but for my benefit now, and I say I make this act of faith. So the people that we are, that prune us best are not accidents. Sometimes they're a husband or a wife. I would suppose that that's always the case. I don't know, or mostly. Sometimes it could be a father or a mother, a child or children. They are the pruning knife. God, in this respect, is like a surgeon, too. A surgeon doesn't use just one knife. He has all kinds of implements and gadgets and things there on his table, and his assistants hand them to him one at a time as he needs them. He has to work very rapidly. He needs everything just at this moment, right now. Or he only got a limited time to keep this wound open and to work on it. And so he takes all these things quickly. Well, God has many assistants. Everybody that lives with us, everybody that works with us, he's using them all. He knows their temperaments better than we do. He knows their weaknesses better than we do. He can use them all for us in our learning. And our confidence in divine providence requires that we see this, that God can use them all. He knows our temperaments. He knows what we are. Suppose you take two dogs, two male dogs, and you put them in a yard together. Now, you know what's going to happen. You didn't cause it, but you know what's going to happen. You know, you put a male and a female in, something's going to happen too. It's going to be different, you see. But we know that. It's predictable, but we don't know, you see. One case will be a romance, and the other case will be a fight. So God knows our temperaments, and he knows how to put us together so that we will prune one another. And don't forget that. Somebody else is pruning you, and you're pruning them. You can pray for them that they have the faith to see that so that they'll grow too. Now, a man like Gandhi could do that. Can we do it? This is mutual. God loves everyone. We have no monopoly on his love. He wants to sanctify everyone. He wants everybody in the kingdom of heaven. And so we all are involved in this. But anyway, we hope that God would win 100%. Maybe he doesn't. We can spoil his moves by stepping in and interfering with him if we don't live by faith. But if we accept all this in faith and love, then he will win a proportionate number of games. He's not going to force us, but he will win. So these are some illustrations. Now let us adjourn, and we'll meet again at 4, and we'll continue and conclude. And perhaps you can see why I've said that this is the the culmination of our retreat. This is the highest way and the best way that we can, and actually the most frequent way. This is a principle that you can use every day of your life, rubbing elbows with your neighbors and your family and your friends. They all will preen you one way or another. All right.